This morning, I want to talk to you about another classic, a classic story that most of us are familiar with the overall, but not necessarily the specific character. This morning, I want to talk to you about Joseph, the father of Jesus. In fact, as we look at the nativity, we kind of recognize all the pieces of it, but sometimes we miss the role that different ones play. Matthew, and his recording of the gospel, begins in chapter 1 with the genealogy of Jesus Christ through the line of Joseph. In verse 16, we read the completion of the genealogy, and here it is in Matthew 1:16, and Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Joseph was in the lineage of Jesus Christ in the sense coming from David. Now, I want to read about Mary and Joseph, but this morning we're going to look at some life lessons we can learn from Joseph. Let's read it in Matthew 1:18-25. It says this. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophets. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. I pray that it will be vibrant to our lives. Lord, your word never goes out void. Lord, teach us, instruct us, and Lord, may we follow your word. In Jesus' name, amen. It's amazing. Everybody has some type of traditions at Christmas. They're either invented by yourselves or they're traditions that have been handed down, passed down through the generations and through the families through the years. Well, here's one story of a family and how they respond at Christmas. There was once a family that celebrated Christmas every year with a birthday party for Jesus. An extra chair of honor was placed at the table, becoming the family's reminder of Jesus' presence. A cake with candles, along with the singing of Happy Birthday, expressed the family's joy during the celebration of Jesus' birth. Well, one year, a visitor stopped by just after Christmas Day and asked 5-year-old Ruth, who was the youngest of the family, he asked, did you get everything you wanted for Christmas? After a moment of hesitation, she answered, no, but it's not my birthday. See, she knew the real meaning of Christmas. Christmas is about Jesus. Now, Jesus is the focus of Christmas for us and should be. And many of the characters that are in the nativity set are recognizable, some more than others. But Joseph doesn't get the prominent attention some of the others get. The cast of characters associated with the story are colorful. They're memorable. We recognize them mainly by their unique speaking parts. Many of the dramatic lies. The angels, of course, take center stage. They tell Joseph about the birth of the Savior. The Archangel Gabriel makes an unforgettable announcement to Mary. An angelic choir interrupts the shepherds on their hillside, singing, "Glory to God in the highest." The Virgin Mary, whose divine selection humbles her, and she offers a beautiful hymn of thanksgiving found in Luke 1:46. It says, "And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed." The wise men, we find, they're steadfast, they're faithful in their search to find the newborn king. And when they find him, they are prepared to give him of their treasures, to present him with gifts of worship. In Matthew 1, their story is brief, but it's recorded. In Matthew 1:1, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." In Matthew 2nd chapter, verse 9, the story finds its climax. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his Mary, or with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. Remember, the shepherds, they play an important role in the Christmas scene because they were the first, are you ready? They were the first evangelists. They were the first ones to herald the gospel. In Luke chapter 2, the shepherds hastened to find the baby Jesus after the announcement from the angelic choir. And when they find Jesus, and Luke writes it for us in chapter 2, verse 16, "So they hurried off, found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them." So many play their part in Christmas. But oddly enough, only Joseph has no speaking part. He is the lone silent member of the cast and often left out. Angels bring heavenly greeting. Mary sings a solo full of praise. Wise men seek the Christ, bow down and worship him. Shepherds get to see the Messiah first, and they're the first to preach the gospel. But Joseph is silent. No notable lines are attributed to him. No sound bites he gets, no quotes, only silence. However, while Joseph doesn't seem to play a large role as a character of Christmas, he is irreplaceable in the story of Jesus' birth. His importance is vital. It is through Joseph that God protects the life of the baby Jesus so that he'll be able to fulfill the role as a Savior of the world. Just like for you and me. God protects the purposes and the plans and the promises of Christ in our life. In your life right now, there is an aspect of an unknown will that God has for you, maybe. A promise yet to be fulfilled, a word yet to be delivered, a ministry or a move of God in your life. Why? So his glory can be realized and revealed in you. Through Joseph, we can learn three lessons today. We can learn a lesson of mercy, a lesson of faith, and a lesson of obedience. Say those with me. A lesson of mercy, a lesson of faith, and a lesson of obedience. Let's talk about a lesson of mercy. We read them in verse 18 and 19 of Matthew 1. Here it is again. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. I want you to just see the Holy Spirit all the way through this. It's incredible. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Now, in this passage, we are introduced to Joseph in the middle of a nightmare. He, having become engaged to a beautiful young girl in the wonderful Jewish tradition, where he's worked hard to establish an income so he could support his wife and get married and have a family. I'm sure he's looking forward to the marriage day. He's committed his love to Mary, and he believes that she loves him, until the news that his precious bride is pregnant. Mary is going to have a baby. Now, I'm sure his heart was broken, and he might have even felt betrayed. So how will Joseph respond? Should he publicly shame her, serve her with a certificate of divorce? Should he surrender her maybe to a public stoning? I mean, listen, her explanation of this pregnancy is unbelievable, right? Mary could have been stoned on the charge of adultery because of the engagement that had already taken place. She also could have been stoned on the charge of serious blasphemy. Why? Because she says she is going to have who? The Son of God. But incredibly, in this story, Joseph chooses the path of mercy. Matthew 1:19, because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace. This response of mercy shows great character in Joseph. Before any divine explanation, Joseph chooses mercy. No malice, no explosion. Now, for you and me, certainly words would have been appropriate here. Like, how could you do this to me? Who's the father? Tell me his name. But only mercy and tenderness are recorded. Most likely, Joseph is going to become the talk of Nazareth along with Mary. Joseph is probably going to lose his friends over this, especially in that culture. But he would not hurt Mary, no matter what he thought she had done to him. Now that's a man of mercy. A righteous man. He could have demanded justice, but he chose to walk the way of righteousness, a walk of mercy. The mystery of Jesus' birth, that he decided to become flesh and walk among us, is beyond all human understanding. That the mighty God would take on the weakness of a newborn baby so that he could become like us, feel the pain and the sorrow and the temptation. But he did it so he could save us. He had a plan to reconcile us back to God. And God in that plan needed a man like Joseph. A man after his own heart, one full of mercy. It is the righteous mercy of Joseph which preserves the life of Mary and preserves the unborn Christ. This merciful carpenter would be the one to raise a merciful Savior. This is a lesson that we can act on, especially during this time of the year, when it seems that justice ought to prevail. I'm asking you, choose mercy. Extend patience. Be gracious. Be sympathetic with people. Especially when you're in those long lines at the store. Especially when you're looking for that parking spot that's close. Why not be a person of mercy? In fact, Jude 22 tells us this. And you must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. Rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. Show mercy to still others, but do so with great caution, hating the sins that contaminate their lives. I want you to be full of mercy. A second lesson we learn from Joseph is that of faith. What's our first lesson? What's the second lesson? Faith. Matthew 1:20 says, "But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream." How many of you dreamed last night? Every one of you, according to science, dreamed. You just didn't remember it. He had a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." From Joseph, we learn that the plans of God are revealed by the Holy Spirit and protected by faith. In other words, when we trust God and the move of His Holy Spirit, we will arrive at His promises. We see this in Joseph's faith, in what God has revealed to him, and his willingness to just believe what God said in a dream. Remember, at first, Joseph is already full of mercy, but intended to serve a certificate of divorce. He wanted to end the engagement, handle the matter quietly. But now the Lord's ready to let Joseph in on the plan. He was ready now to call him to a life of faith, to believe. Joseph's heart and his eyes were open to catch a glimpse of the divine plan. In Joseph's dream, God reminded Joseph of his God-given identity. God's angelic messenger addresses Joseph with a unique title: Joseph, son of David. But I thought we read earlier in Matthew where Jacob was his father. He was being reminded of his identity in God, because the line of Jesus was to come from the root of David. And he reminds him of his ancestry. You need to know that God watches over His plans and His purposes for your life. He wants you to know who you are in Him. Paul writes to us in Ephesians 1:18, "I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and His incomparable great power for us who believe." That power is like the working of His mighty strength. Do you understand that in Christ you have a special identity? You are a member of the family of God, and God knows who you are. It's when we begin to recognize that we can have faith and believe that God is working His purposes, His plans out in our lives. Next in this story, God assures Joseph that you don't have to be afraid. I want you to know, fear is the enemy of faith. It will attempt to steal your hope. I want you to keep your faith in what God has said, because God will always fulfill what He said He would do. God also gives Joseph direction. He wanted him to take Mary as his wife, be a father to the child. In verse 21, we're told that Joseph is to name the child Jesus. Through Joseph's faith, we can learn to be teachable ourselves. We can allow God's instructions to work in and through our lives. Joseph has a different perspective now, a perspective of faith. Joseph has faith that God is working through the Holy Spirit, fulfilling His plan of redemption through the line of David. Faith is always believing according to the promise of God's word. And a third lesson from Joseph is that of obedience. First lesson is, second lesson is, and a third lesson is obedience. Matthew 1:24. I want to go ahead and release. We're going to have communion in just a moment, but those who are serving communion, I want to go ahead and release you to make preparations. In Matthew 1:24, it says, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. Obedience followed Joseph's faith. He did what he was commanded to do. The Bible defines faith with obedience and obedience with faith. You really can't have one without having the other. Joseph had to have faith and trust in God. But now Joseph would obey God completely. He would take Mary to be his wife and suffer whatever might come from that decision. Joseph would obey by giving this child the name the angel gave him, Jesus. A name that declares good news about a God who saves, Yahweh. Jehovah is salvation. Joseph hears and he obeys. That's what men and women of God do. They hear and they obey. We need to consider the call to obedience in our lives. We need to walk in the place of obedience. In Matthew 2, you can read about how Herod was out to destroy the next successor to the throne of Israel and how he slaughtered children under 2 years of age. In fact, we find another time there was a Joseph who obeyed. Joseph quickly obeys in this story and goes to Egypt. But Egypt holds another significance. In the Old Testament, there was a Joseph with a coat of many colors. Remember that? He was betrayed by his brother, sold into slavery, went into prison, and over time, then became second in command in Egypt. Over time, all of the Israelites, the Hebrews, moved into Egypt, and over 400 years, they became slaves. Memories held Egypt as a place of oppression. But I want you to know the place of obedience where he calls us is not always the most comfortable. Joseph takes Mary and the infant Jesus to Egypt. He leaves everything behind, his business, his family, his friends. Why? To obey God. Because the Herods, the enemies of your life, cannot destroy you when you are in a place of obedience. God's promises are preserved in the place of obedience. Three lessons: mercy, faith, obedience. Each are important in our lives for us to walk out. We can realize God's purposes, God's plans for our lives. We need to walk the way of mercy. Forgive as you have been forgiven. Love people like God has loved you. James 2:13. Can you handle the word of God this morning? Sure you can. But here's what his word tells us. Ready? James 2:13. There will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy to others. But if you have been merciful, God will be merciful when he judges you. Live merciful. Live full of faith. Paul writes in Romans 1:16, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith. From first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Jesus taught us in Mark 11:22, he said, have faith in God. Paul continues in Romans 10:17, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. We need to grow in our faith. Read God's word more. Hide it in your heart so that you don't sin against God. Live by faith. And lastly, live in obedience. 1 John 2:5 teaches us, but if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. What a great scripture. Obedience to his word. That's why we look into his word each week, so we can hear the word. But not just hear it, we become doers of the word. Like Joseph, let's learn to walk in mercy. Let's walk in faith. Let's walk in obedience. Let's learn these lessons of life. Jesus must have learned them. He learned them from his Father, his earthly Father, and his heavenly Father. Let us also learn those. This morning, it is because we have a Savior that this story is recorded. As I looked at the life of Joseph and then I glanced to the rest of Scripture, it's like, here's a man that doesn't say anything, but he lives it. Sometimes we tend to look at different people and say, well, they don't say much. But that's why the Bible teaches us we'll know them by their fruits. But there's one who gave his life. Joseph had influence on Jesus. You can see the character of his life and why God chose him. Because he was full of mercy. He would be full of faith and believing. And also he would quickly obey. That's the way we need to live. You know, Jesus paid an awesome price for us. And this morning, kind of the week before our Christmas Sunday, I want to remember him, not just in his birth, but in his death. Those who are coming to serve this morning, as they hand out these elements, and anybody is welcome, as only have to believe in Jesus Christ, and you can receive communion with us this morning. That's the only biblical stipulation. And that's why we're family at large. But as you receive these elements this morning, I want you to take them and let's remember the life that instructed him and led him. Go ahead, you may serve. I want us to sing a carol this morning as we lift this together and listen to these words carefully. Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still you seem Yeah. receive, let me read another passage to you this morning. Found in Philippians chapter 2, it says this. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, be one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but He made Himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. The story of Christmas is beautiful, and I love the story of the baby. That's not the complete story. He grew up, became a man, as we watched in the little drama. He healed people. He taught. People learned. These life lessons for us today, we really learn from Jesus, really from God. It was God in His mercy that He came, for God so loved the world. The faith to believe that He would send His Son and that people would believe by faith, not works, or we would begin to boast. Christ walked a life of obedience. He only did and said what the Father told Him to do and say. I want us to live that way, church. By the help of the Holy Spirit, you need to understand the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Why? Because it's the same Holy Spirit that overshadowed Mary. It conceived a child. It's the same Holy Spirit that leaped or filled Elizabeth when John the Baptist leaped in her womb. It's the same Holy Spirit that led Simeon to the temple to hold the Christ child. It's the same Holy Spirit that filled that room on the day of Pentecost. He works His plan in our life through the Holy Spirit. You see, I believe by faith what Jesus did. He died and He rose again. So people say, well, prove it. If I proved it, it would be works. I believe it. It's historical. No one has ever been able to disprove it. He's alive. His body isn't there. This little baby that we celebrate this Christmas is one who paid the most awesome price for you. He took your place of eternal death so that you wouldn't have to die eternally. You would put your faith in Him, then you can live forever. In fact, He is life. That's why He really couldn't die. He is resurrection. In fact, folks, we have a reason to be merciful. How many of you have been shown mercy? Whew. I could get all limbs up, I would. But folks, we have to believe it by faith and we walk it out in obedience. Joseph plays an important role. You do too. And as we partake this morning and we remember what He did for us, the price that He paid for us, and we remember His body, we remember that He took stripes for our healing, I believe it by faith. Why does everybody not, why doesn't everybody get healed? It's divine healing. It comes from God. It's in God's time. It's in God's way. It's in God's will. But he said, ask. He said, believe. He said, remember. So that's what we want to do, is remember everything he accomplished for us. And we believe it by faith. We believe his body was broken so that we could be whole. That's why we're here today. So let's partake together. Heavenly Father, I praise you. I thank you for sending your son Jesus. I want to thank you for Joseph. Lord, he doesn't seem to get as much attention. But Lord, there's some lessons we can learn. And Jesus lived them out. Lord, help us to live them out. Lord, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for sending your son for us. Lord, thank you for saving us. Amen. He'll also take the cup and reminds us of the ultimate price, the blood that he shed. In fact, this is made from grapes. They were crushed. To give us the juice this morning, they were bruised. They were crushed. And they gave everything they had. Jesus did the same for you, so you could have life. Let's partake together. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you. Lord, cast out our sin. Hit her in. Be born in us today. And Lord, help us to be messengers like the shepherds. Help us to worship like the wise men. Help us to sing songs of praise like Mary. Lord, help us live like Joseph. Merciful, faithful, obedient. And Lord, have your way in our lives. And you receive all the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I'm going to send you out of here and to a busy world. I'm asking you, church, pour the love and the mercy of God through your life this week. I don't know what you'll encounter, but remember how merciful God's been towards you. For if you don't show mercy, you won't be shown. I read word to you this morning, truth. Be merciful. Be full of faith. Don't be ashamed of nativity scenes. I'm driving by yesterday with my youngest boy, 7, and he looks over and he says, I'm busy, I'm driving. He says, Dad, did you see the nativity scene? And I was like, son, I missed it. Sometimes we get so busy, we can miss it. Folks, celebrate overseeing the celebration of Christ. Amen. And this week, be obedient. Children, obey. But I'm not talking to just the little ones. For we're all children. Children of our own moms and dads. And you'll be calling them and they may ask you to do something. You go, well, I'm my own person now. I'll never forget the story. My brother came home one time and he was visiting. He already had 2 kids. I'm 10 years younger than him. So here I am at home and he comes home and dad looked at him and said, boy, he said, get over here and help me. And my oldest brother said, Dad, I'm the rooster of my own hen house now. I was shocked. I just obeyed Dad, you know. But my dad was merciful in that moment, and we quit doing what we were doing, and we fellowshiped. But we have a heavenly Father that we need to obey. Listen intently this week and obey. Amen? Life lessons, repeat them back to me. Number one, be full of and walk a life of. Amen. The Lord bless you. Love on one another. And let's go in the power of the Holy Spirit and have a Jesus-filled week. God bless you.